If you want to know why your next video game console is suddenly $50 more expensive, you really have to look past the gaming industry entirely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you basically have to point the finger directly at a massive, incredibly power-hungry artificial intelligence data center. Welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're pulling from a really comprehensive May 14, 2026 briefing from Taken Morning, and we are mapping out this, phenomenon that is just silently reshaping the entire global economy.
It really is touching everything right now.
It is. Okay, let's unpack this. What we are living through with this current artificial intelligence boom is like a lot like a massive boulder being dropped into a really small pond.
Right.
And most of us are just standing on the shoreline, trying to keep our heads above water while dealing with these unexpected massive waves crashing into our daily lives.
Yeah, the ripple effects are inescapable at this point.
Exactly. So our mission today is to look at this hidden AI tax, as we're calling it. And we're going to trace those ripple effects from the price of the gadgets in your living room to global cyber warfare and all the way up to high stakes presidential geopolitics.
Because the scope of the shift detailed in this briefing, I mean, it's staggering. We're completely moving away from the era where consumer electronics dictated the supply chain.
Right.
Today, the entire semiconductor industry is contorting itself to serve basically one master, which is AI infrastructure. And that exact contortion is what's causing that first wave you mentioned, the one directly hitting the consumer's wallet.
Right, so let's get specific on those numbers because if you've been shopping for tech lately, the sticker shock is very real.
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo is officially raising the price of the Switch 2 console by $50. It's going up to $500 starting September 1, 2026.
And that's the first height since it launched, right?
Yeah, the very first one since its June 2025 launch. And they are far from an outlier here. The PlayStation 5 Pro is up $100 to $150.
Wow.
The Microsoft Surface Pro 13 jumped by $500.
That's a massive jump.
It's insane. The Meta Quest 3 is up $50 to $100. Apple even axed its $599, 256 gigabyte Mac Mini entirely. So now the almost $800, 512 gigabyte version is just your new baseline.
Yeah, and the underlying mechanism driving like literally all of these price hikes is a really severe bottleneck in memory chips.
Okay, so why memory chips specifically?
Well, in the first quarter of 2026, the cost of memory chips effectively doubled.
Doubled in one quarter.
Exactly, doubled. The Synopsys CEO, Sassine Ghazi, he noted in the briefing that memory supply is being routed directly to AI infrastructure, so it's leaving standard consumer industries completely starved.
Just starve for parts.
Right, and the timeline for relief is pretty grim. Tae-Tae Won, he's the chairman of SK Group. He recently warned that this shortage could stretch all the way until 2030.
Until 2030. That is wow. Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because I look at this like a restaurant dynamic.
Okay, how so?
Imagine a local buffet where you usually go, just to get a side salad.
Right.
But suddenly, a professional football team walks in with an unlimited corporate card.
Yeah.
They buy up all the steak, all the chicken, and they basically demand the kitchen only cook for them.
Yeah, they take over the whole place.
Exactly. So the management realizes they can make an absolute fortune just catering to the team. So what do? They hike the price of your side salad by double just to justify even keeping the salad bar open for you.
That is a perfect analogy because.
But wait, we need to look at the mechanics of the silicon itself, right? Like,
Yeah.
why does an AI data center suddenly make it so hard to just put a standard memory chip in a regular laptop?
It really comes down to the physical manufacturing limits of a semiconductor fabrication plant, or a fab, as they call them in the industry.
Okay.
AI models require high bandwidth memory, or HBM.
Mm.
Now, unlike the standard memory chips in your laptop that are just laid out flat side by side on a motherboard.
Right, the traditional way.
Exactly. HBM involves physically stacking memory chips on top of each other, and then they punch these microscopic holes, they're called, through silicon vias to connect them.
Oh, wow. So it's a 3D structure.
Yes, and it is incredibly complex to manufacture. The defect rates are much higher, and crucially, it takes up vastly more physical silicon wafer space on the assembly line.
Ah, so it eats up the actual factory footprint.
Exactly. Fabs have a fixed capacity, so when they dedicate their lines to producing these massive, complex HBM stacks for AI servers, they literally have to shut down the lines that produce the cheap, standard memory chips used in video game consoles.
So the fabs are effectively running at max capacity, just pivoting their entire architecture to chase the absolute highest margin product.
Exactly.
And that intense localized pressure inside those fabrication plants, I mean, that directly explains the friction we are seeing on the human side of this equation right now.
Oh, the labor dynamics are fascinating right now.
Yeah, because if the global economy hinges on maximizing the output of these specific facilities, then the leverage held by the people actually working on those assembly lines is completely unprecedented.
Which brings us to the recent crisis at Samsung. Because, I mean, Samsung is the world's largest memory chip manufacturer.
Right.
But they just experienced a $66 billion intraday market cap wipeout.
$66 billion in a single day?
Yes. That was a 6% drop in their stock price. And the trigger. A 50,000 worker union threatened an 18-day strike, which was scheduled to start on May 21.
A strike of that magnitude? I mean, that would bring the global memory supply to its absolute knees.
It would freeze everything.
But the core dispute here, it reveals so much about corporate strategy over the last 5 years, because these workers, they aren't just striking blindly.
No, not at all.
They are furious over a massive bonus pay gap between them and their main rival, SK Hynix. So my question is, if AI demand is practically printing money for these chip manufacturers right now, why is there such a massive gap in bonus pay that 50,000 workers are willing to risk halting production entirely?
Well, what's fascinating here is the context behind that specific bonus gap.
Right.
Because several years ago, SK Hynix made a really aggressive, highly risky bet on developing that complex high bandwidth memory we just talked about.
Okay.
Samsung, conversely, they took a much more conservative approach, so they lagged behind in HBM development.
Oh, so they basically missed the boat when the AI boom hit.
Exactly. When the boom hit, SK Hynix possessed exactly the architecture that companies like NVIDIA desperately needed. So they secured the massive contracts, their revenues exploded, and they paid out enormous bonuses to their workforce.
Wow. So the Samsung workers are essentially looking across the street, seeing this massive windfall generated by the AI boom, and realizing their own leadership's strategic misstep is what left them out of the profit sharing. They see the immense wealth being generated by the very product they assemble, and they naturally expect to cut.
Exactly. But an 18-day shutdown at Samsung wouldn't just hurt their bottom line, it would send an absolute shockwave through the entire tech sector.
Because the order risks would just instantly shift to SK Hynix and Micron.
Right. And they are already at maximum capacity. They couldn't absorb it.
So what happened with the strike?
Well, the South Korean government recognized the systemic risk immediately.
Mm.
The stock actually recovered about 1% after the government intervened to calm the strike fears.
Did they force a deal?
There was heavy speculation that Seoul would utilize an emergency arbitration order.
Okay, what is that?
It's basically a mechanism that forces a settlement to protect industries deemed critical to the national economy. Yeah, it really underscores how fragile the physical supply chain of artificial intelligence actually is.
Mm-hmm.
We treat AI like this ethereal software in the cloud, but it relies entirely on physical silicon produced by human workers in a highly volatile labor environment.
That's such a great point.
Yeah.
That extreme localized pressure to manufacture the chips, it just seamlessly transitions into the high stakes global pressure of selling them.
Well, absolutely. The geopolitics here are intense.
Yeah, because once these chips leave the fab, they instantly become geopolitical leverage. The Taken Morning Brief details a really fascinating development with NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang.
Yes.
He was a last-minute addition to U.S. President Donald Trump's trip to China. Huang actually boarded Air Force One in Alaska, joining Elon Musk and 15 other top executives.
And the sequence of events there is really notable. President Trump personally called Huang on Tuesday after media coverage highlighted NVIDIA's exclusion from the initial guest list.
Oh, so he wasn't even supposed to go at first?
No, he wasn't. But bringing the CEO of the world's most valuable AI chip company on a diplomatic mission to Beijing,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a massive geopolitical signal.
It's a $50 billion signal, because that is the estimated size of the opportunity for NVIDIA in the Chinese market.
Right.
It's the largest potential market for AI hardware in the entire world. And to be clear to you, the listener, we are looking at this strictly from the numbers and the geopolitical stakes detailed in the source, not taking any sides on the trade policies themselves.
Exactly. Just reporting the landscape.
Right. But Huang is operating under strict U.S. export restrictions that limit the computing power of the AI chips American companies are even allowed to sell to China.
Right. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the architecture of those export controls is highly specific. The U.S. government doesn't just issue a blanket ban.
What do they do instead?
They restrict the interconnect speed.
Interconnect speed.
Yeah, it's essentially the speed at which multiple chips can talk to each other to train massive models. So NVIDIA has to engineer specific throttled-down versions of their hardware just to comply with U.S. law, while still trying to remain competitive and capture market share in Beijing.
So wait, are they too big to be restricted, or is Huang just stepping into a massive political minefield here?
It's a huge minefield.
Because you have a CEO stepping right into the middle of a deeply sensitive trade relationship. Huang obviously wants to ease those export restrictions to tap into that $50 billion market. But doing so touches the third rail of national security concerns in Washington.
It really demonstrates how the role of the tech executive has just fundamentally shifted.
Yeah. It seems like when you produce the foundational infrastructure for the next generation of global computing, hitting your quarterly sales targets basically requires you to act as an international diplomat.
Because the hardware is the new strategic resource.
Yeah.
But, the intense rush to deploy all of this advanced hardware is causing massive systemic instability on the software side, too.
Oh, definitely.
We're seeing a complete paradigm shift in cybersecurity because of artificial intelligence.
We really are. And the briefing outlines this staggering cybersecurity update from Microsoft's recent Patch Tuesday.
The numbers on this are wild.
Yeah. They had to address 118 security vulnerabilities, with 16 of them categorized as critical. But the standout bug is CVE-2026-41089.
Right.
And that one received a 9.8 out of 10 severity score.
And just for context, a 9.8 severity score implies a vulnerability that requires very low complexity to exploit.
Meaning it's easy for hackers to use?
Exactly. It requires zero interaction from the user, and it gives the attacker profound control. This specific bug is a critical stack-based buffer overflow in Windows NetLogin.
Okay, let's break down the mechanics of a buffer overflow, because it sounds highly technical, but it's actually a very physical concept in computing.
It is, yeah.
Imagine a computer's memory like a row of empty water glasses. Mm. A program is supposed to pour exactly 8 ounces of water into an 8-ounce glass.
Simple enough.
Right. But a buffer overflow occurs when a flaw in the code allows an attacker to pour 10 ounces of water in. So the extra water spills over the edge and into the adjacent glasses.
I love that analogy.
Thanks. In computing, that spill overwrites the adjacent memory space, which often contains the critical instructions telling the computer what to do next. So the attacker overwrites those instructions with their own malicious code, essentially tricking the processor into handing over the keys to the entire system.
Right, and that mechanism overwriting the return address to execute an arbitrary payload that grants the attacker what we call system privileges on the domain controller.
Meaning they effectively own the network.
They own the network. And the crazy thing is Microsoft isn't alone here.
Not at all.
Apple recently patched 52 bugs, backporting the fixes all the way to the iPhone 6s. Mozilla resolved 271 vulnerabilities in Firefox. Google Chrome fixed 127 flaws, and Oracle patched an unbelievable 450 flaws in a single update.
So what does this all mean? This massive industry-wide spike in bug discoveries isn't a coincidence, right? And it certainly isn't because human coders suddenly got worse at their jobs overnight.
No, it's because of AI, specifically Anthropic's Project Glasswing.
Right.
Tech giants have been given access to this new AI capability, and it is unearthing flaws in legacy code at a terrifying rate.
It's like hiring a microscopic detective capable of finding every single hairline fracture in the foundation of a skyscraper.
Exactly. Because Project Glasswing approaches code fundamentally differently than, like, traditional human auditing or basic automated scanners. Large language models understand code as a complex language, complete with grammar and syntax.
Right, so it doesn't just search for known bad signatures like a traditional antivirus software would.
No, it operates much more like a master linguist reading a novel.
Yeah.
You know, a human programmer might stare at thousands of lines of code and naturally gloss over a misplaced comma or maybe a slight structural inconsistency just because the human brain fills in the gaps.
We see what we expect to see.
Exactly. But the AI maps the underlying grammar of the system perfectly. It spots the structural weakness, the exact place where that memory buffer can be made to spill over instantly.
Which presents the cybersecurity industry with a massive paradox. Are our systems actually less secure right now, or is AI just finally turning the lights on so we can see all the bugs that were hiding in the dark all along?
I mean, arguably, they feel less secure right now because AI is illuminating thousands of zero-day vulnerabilities that have literally just been sitting in the code for a decade.
Yeah, the sheer volume of patches is completely overwhelming IT departments globally.
Oh, they are exhausted.
But long term,
identifying and patching these human-made flaws before hostile actors can exploit them, it creates a far more hardened digital environment. AI is basically auditing the fallibility of human software engineering.
Right, so it's mastering the static environment of code.
Yeah.
But applying that exact same artificial intelligence to the dynamic, highly unpredictable physical world, that is proving to be a much steeper mountain to climb.
Oh, vastly different challenge.
Yeah. The briefing contrasts Project Glasswing's success with a voluntary recall by Waymo involving 3,800 of its robotaxis.
Yes. And this raises an important question about the current limits of autonomous tech.
What happened exactly?
The Waymo recall centers on a specific software failure down in Austin and San Antonio, Texas, involving flooded roadways.
Okay.
The autonomous vehicles were detecting heavy rain and standing water, and they would decelerate, but they were failing to actually stop.
Wait, they just kept going.
They continued driving right into the floodwaters.
Yeah.
And in one instance in San Antonio, an empty robotaxi was swept away entirely.
That is just there is a deep humorous irony here. The same tech industry capable of training billion parameter AI models that can rewrite global cybersecurity protocols gets totally outsmarted by a Texas thunderstorm.
Yeah, by a puddle, basically.
Right.
But the mechanics of the failure, they really highlight the immense difficulty of sensor fusion in the real world.
Okay, break that down for me. What is sensor fusion?
So autonomous vehicles rely heavily on LIDAR.
Right, the lasers.
Yeah, pulsing lasers that bounce off objects to map a 3D point cloud of the environment. But standing water creates this phenomenon called specular reflection.
Specular reflection.
Yes. Instead of the laser bouncing back to the sensor so the car knows an object is there, the surface of the water acts like a mirror. It reflects the laser pulse away.
Oh, wow. So to the car's computer, the puddle doesn't even look like an obstacle.
It looks like empty space.
That's terrifying.
It is. Combine that with cameras that are blinded by heavy rain, and the AI receives completely contradictory data. Finding a syntax error in static code, you know, that's a closed-loop math problem. Navigating the real-world physics of water refraction at 40 miles an hour is an entirely different beast.
But Waymo did manage to fix the issue pretty quickly, right? They pushed an over-the-air software update directly to the fleet.
Yeah, OTA updates are a lifesaver.
It's a rapid solution, sure, but it's a very humbling reminder that while AI can manipulate the digital world perfectly, real-world physics and weather are still massive hurdles. It really struggles to interpret the physical world.
Right. It forces us to confront the limitations of the technology right as it scales into every facet of our lives.
Exactly. Which brings us to the practical application of all this. How do you, the listener, navigate these waves? Based on the briefing, there are some immediate steps you need to take. On the cybersecurity front, the threat is very active.
Definitely.
If you manage Windows servers, patching CVE-2026-41089 is not something that can wait until Monday. Do it now.
Yep.
For everyone else, reboot your Google Chrome browser fully to apply the latest security update. Run your Windows OS updates. And if you have an older iPhone, navigate to your settings and update iOS immediately.
Please do.
Because those 52 bugs Apple patched, they are sitting exposed on your device right now.
And regarding the hardware market, if you are planning to purchase the Nintendo Switch 2, remember that the $50 price hike takes effect on September 1st.
So what's the bottom line for the gamers out there?
The strategic move is to wait until early June. Nintendo is dropping a $499 Choose Your Game bundle. So you are going to pay the new baseline price, but the bundle includes a free $60 flagship game. You can choose Mario Kart, Donkey Kong Country, or Pocopia.
Okay, so that offsets it.
Yeah, it is the most efficient way to offset the AI tax hitting your wallet before that September hike hits.
That's a great tip. Navigating this shift really requires recognizing how all these disparate pieces, you know, memory fabrication limits, the labor dynamics, the software vulnerabilities, they are all connected to the exact same core pressure point.
Everything is connected. The boulder has hit the water and the ripples are touching everything.
They really are. But before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. We talked about Anthropic's Project Glasswing acting as the ultimate linguist, you know, perfectly reading human code to find our hidden flaws and vulnerabilities.
Right.
It's doing the vital work of auditing our digital foundation.
It is currently our most powerful defensive tool, without a doubt.
But the next step in this evolution isn't auditing, it's authoring. Soon, artificial intelligence won't just be checking the code. It will be writing the vast majority of our software from scratch.
Yeah, that's coming fast.
So when that happens, will it perfectly secure its own systems? Or will it inadvertently create zero-day vulnerabilities so deeply complex and so fundamentally alien to human logic that no human engineer could ever even spot them?
That is the big question.
We are handing the architecture of our digital world over to an intelligence that thinks in ways we don't fully comprehend. The ways are just getting started. Keep your head above water, stay curious, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.